Abraham today. So open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. And if you look there, it says the father of faith. Incredible journeys in time, space, and faith. Because we think of ourselves as incredibly faithful people. But those men and women who listened to God without even a written word, it's amazing the things that they were able to do for God. And he passed away, and in the Bible, he's mentioned over 150 times as the father of faith. And as you look at his story, didn't his son know the good, the bad, and the ugly of his father? Because that was an oral history. It was told. Did Abraham edit out any of the mistakes that he made? Was he a perfect father and man? No. But he made progress. He made growth. He made victories out of mistakes. In Hebrews chapter 11, when it's summed up, there's three paragraphs describing the faith of Abraham. Now, in Genesis, it also details a lot of the mistakes. And we're going to look at some of those. But in summation of his life, what stood out was the faith and the victories that were wrought by faith. And for you and I today, we can look at ourselves and we know we've had successes and failures. But if we finish the race, if we live in faith, if we have incredible journeys in time and in space and in faith with our lives as Christians, God will just do amazing things with us. And he won't remember all of the failures that occurred. He'll commemorate us as these incredible men and women of faith. So if we go to the next slide there, if we look in Genesis chapter 12, the first point here is a faith that strives over time and space. And you'll see I've got a pocket watch and a compass. We're going to talk about those in a moment. But in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and took Lot with him. Take note of that. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Abram's family had been on a journey. His father, Terah, had set out for the land of Canaan, but he had stopped in Haran. And basically, Haran was a nice place. You're in the middle of two rivers. There was a whole lot of things that were growing, opportunities. It was a nice area to live in, so he had just stopped. But as we think about that, this could have been God trying to cajole Terah. Why did you stop? He could have been trying to talk to Terah about why are you not continuing this journey to Canaan? And for us in this room, we need to ask ourselves, are we men and women that are going to continue listening to God? Abram's father set out on a journey, but he stopped. Who continued to listen to God? Abram. He went and took up the rest of the journey, right? In fact, in Hebrews chapter 3, this is for us as Christians. In verse 14, we have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Just like what Angela was talking about, hearing God really working in his heart. And what was he going to do with that? As Christians, we hear God's voice in many ways, right? But we have to be the men and women that don't harden our hearts. Let's be like Abram, who's willing to get up and keep on going, and not like Terah, who feels like this is a comfortable place. I like this area of Haran. I'm going to stay put. And I'm asking us today, are we going to move to action, or are we going to tune him out because of the noise that's around us? Amen? No, we need to consider that. He was 75. There's not very many people in here who are 75. But even at 75, he took on the challenge. But you know what? He took Lot along, didn't he? What did God say? Leave all your family behind. He took Lot along. I think he wanted a security blanket. But eventually, didn't he have to let Lot go? He had to let Lot go. I think God sometimes, he wants to take away our security blankets and us to really rely on him and follow what he's going to do. And he's told to go somewhere. Now, those of us in here today, if you look at slide 3, those of us in here today, when you're going somewhere you've never been and you get into your car, what's the first thing you do? You get your GPS out, right? You GPS it. You get your Waze. I like my Waze app. Some people like Google Maps. There's all kinds. Why? There was a promise, but there wasn't a lot of information. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, what stands out? It says, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. There weren't even maps. Who knows how God was leading him? Maybe he was having to ask all kinds of directions. And men don't like to ask directions. Men are always trying to figure it out. Women are like, pull over, honey. Let's get some help. Men are like, I figured it out. And there weren't any gas stations, so I don't know where Abraham was getting his directions from. Usually when men humble out and the GPS ain't working, they pull into a gas station. Some of us today would say to God, give me a little more info. I don't want to move until I have a little more info. You know, even as a church here in Westchester, we're embarking on some new things. We're embracing this idea of life groups, which is very exciting. Way of getting back into true discipling relationships with one another and building up the church. We're embracing these our Kingdom Kids and Youth and Family devotional groups that we've been doing. These are exciting things. And the buy-in, the participation, the excitement, it's all growing. But some of us could be in here today saying, I need a little more information. I need to be able to GPS it. Where is this whole thing going? I know where it's going. It's going to great things for God. But don't be the one that's left behind and saying, I won't be moved until I know where we're going. Or you'll be left behind wondering where everyone else went. Amen? Can't be that way. We can't be that way. Abraham didn't even have the Bible. In fact, he was living the Bible. Think about that. We could be like living Bibles. Imagine if God writes about the Westchester Ministry and the Hall of Faith. And will we be those men and women that really are those faithful individuals that will stand out and stand up and really be exuberant about our opportunities, embrace our challenges, and do great things for God? I still think this kingdom of God is the best thing going. And I invite people all the time. I get yeses, I get no's, I get weird responses. But I think this is the best thing that we have. Do you guys still think it's the best thing out there that God has done for us? Amen? You know, my vision for us here in our ministry is that in Westchester, in the BX where some of us are from, in Putnam where some of us are from, in Dutchess where some of us are from, that we will be a shining light, that we will be showing the way for so many people individually and as a church, that we'll shine and we'll set the path. We will be the compass that other people can follow. We will set the tone that will inspire people. Amen? You know, but, you know, notice he took Lot along with him, didn't he? If we go to the next slide. This one. Okay, nope. Yeah, go back. When we're looking here, he took Lot along. That may have been his security blanket. In fact, he repeatedly acted in very unrighteous manner. He pawned off his wife as his sister, not once, but twice, right? Tried to have a child with his wife's maidservant. He made big mistakes, right? But isn't God so merciful? Didn't God continue to work with him? Sometimes we've made a mistake and we don't let ourselves out of the doghouse. We keep I need to suffer some more. Get out your whip and flagellate yourself. You know, we want to beat ourselves up. You know, we need to understand that that's not the way God wants to deal with us. If we repent and get help and victory over the struggle, he's not keeping us in the doghouse. He made a lot of mistakes, but God still used him to be the father of faith, as it's talked about. Can God still use us here in this room? Amen? But we need to be able to embrace the path that God has set out for us. You know, even where he left, if you look at the map there, They started, Haran is that area in the top of the map between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. It was a very, very fertile area. Floods would bring in all kinds of nutrients. It was a nice place to stay. And they were setting off down to Canaan through some desert and dry and arid areas and going to go live by the sea, which is salty. I mean, it's a very different thing. He left his area of comfort. Some of us have to get out of our comfort zone. We have to be the men and women that say, I'm not just going to be comfortable at home. I'm going to get out and get involved in everything going on at church. I'm going to get out and get involved in what's going on with our youth and family and Kingdom Kids Ministry. I'm going to get out and get involved in what's going on in our midweeks and these life group ideas. I'm going to take part and not just wait for someone to ask me why I'm not. We've got to get out of our comfort zone, amen? He did, and he had an incredible victory. He was promised, what was he promised at 75? A child and a great nation. Which took longer to be realized? The great nation, right? It took generations. But the child took a long time too. It took like 25 years for that promise to be realized. The child came in his lifetime. The nation came much later. Why I'm telling you this, we have to have enduring faith. We have to have faith that's going to finish strong. Not just start hot and get cold or just settle in. We need to be really on fire for God. But we know Abraham, this time he's still called Abram, he was open with God, right? There were times he told him, I'm unsure. I'm sad. How's this going to happen? My servant's going to inherit everything. You still haven't given me a child. Do you know what God did? He gave him covenant after covenant. God wanted to encourage him. He gave him the covenant when he passed through the burning animals, as was talked about with TJ. He gave him the covenant of circumcision. He gave him a new name. He called him Abraham. He even sent three visitors to him to promise him that in a year's time, there will be a son in your household. Why am I saying this? We need to be real. There's times we need encouragement. And we need to pray for that. God, encourage me. I'm struggling. Show me things. Build me up. Inspire me. We need to be vulnerable about our doubts. But did his doubts lead him to stop? Did his sadness lead him to stop listening to God? No. He put it out there before God and waited for God to do something to build him up. Amen? We need to be those kind of men and women that we're that close with our God, that we're able to pour out our hearts and ask for help and inspiration and look for the response. If we can look at the next slide. In Hebrews chapter 11, this is the way God looks at him. For all of his mistakes and for all of his struggles, this is how he's commemorated in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 8. It's a great commemoration. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars. We are those descendants, amen? And as countless as the sand on the seashore. He as good as dead. Very few of us are as good as dead. We're all dying. We're living, but we're dying, right? If he could use someone as good as dead in these amazing ways, what could he do with us? Amen? You know, and the ugly stuff wasn't sanitized. Even as we tell our victories and our faith stories, we need to share the battles and struggles and things we had to overcome. Because sometimes we come off looking like we walk on water. Like, Jesus was lucky to have me. I was so awesome. He woke up to the fact that I was necessary. No, we need to be like saying it like the real thing. Like, what was it like to become a Christian? But sometimes when we share our conversion story, We sanitize it. And it even can come across to friends and family like we were perfect before we became a Christian. We just got a little bit better and made the right decision. We need to talk about what we overcame. We need to share. He messed up. Didn't Abraham? Think about these things. None of you have had a child with your maidservant's wife. None of you pawned your wife off as your sister. This is some major deceit. God still used them. Why am I encouraging us with this? By faith, what can God do with you? By faith, what can He bring through with you? As long as we never give up, God will continue using us in amazing ways. Abraham was knocked down, but he wasn't knocked out. Are we going to go on those kinds of journeys? We're going on a journey. We're doing different things. We're going different places. Hey, I don't know about you guys. I love the God opened up some amazing doors in the mansion over there and in that Baptist church. Haven't those been some amazing places for our midweeks? I like to get to say we have church in the mansion. That's pretty cool. I'm glad they changed the name because I wasn't feeling the Women's Club of White Plains. I wasn't feeling that. But why am I saying this? God opened some doors. Look at where we get to worship here. Hasn't God opened some amazing doors? Look at the fellowship that we have. Look around. Look around. This place is just a great place to be. We need to be those men and women that are able to go on these journeys of faith with God and embrace the ideas that we're trying to put out there to build up the church. Amen? Look at the next slide. The next point here is a faith that survives all challenges. Because, you know, eventually he did get his son, right? And he sent away his other son. And now he's got one son. In Genesis chapter 22, and I would encourage you, go and read Abraham. This actually came out of a Bible study we did with our family group about parenting and about faith in life. And go read the intervening chapters. But right now we're in Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Think about that. How would you react? Your one and only son. What? You're asking me to sacrifice my son? First of all, he's my son. Second of all, I only got one. And thirdly, you said he's going to be the way that everything's going to be reckoned through him. Wow. Faith that survives all challenges. Had Abraham grown in his faith? Had he changed? How could we tell? Early the next morning, right? He sets off on a journey. He had struggled a lot. But here he is still listening to God, right? Here I am. We need to just say to God, "Here I am. How do you want to use me?" And whatever comes along, there are going to be times of testing in our life. Some of us have been tested. Some of us have been through things that none of us ever want to go through. But we're still here. Amen? And God is working. Some of us have had to endure struggles that some of us just can't even comprehend why they're happening. But you're faithful. Amen? That's the thing. Faith that survives all challenges. You know, how do we see how steadfast he had become? He had struggled a lot. Who knows what kind of prayers he offered? It says he took a 3-day journey, right? Who knows what kind of prayers he was offering on the way? But how was he outwardly? He was stalwart. You see, even as we struggle with things and we're battling with things, there need to be friends that we talk to. But he was with his son. Did he need to evidence any doubt in the plan to his son? No. First of all, his son probably would have run away. We'll talk about teens in a moment. But anyway, point being, like, think about that. You know, we need to be the same around those who looked up to us. Some of us, we've got people that really respect us in the faith. And we need to understand that there need to be people we get help from when we're struggling. But if you go share some of your struggles with someone else that's like, it's going to discourage them, you better come at it with a victory plan as well. Amen. We need to be aware. He went forward faithfully. He went forward in an amazing way. And in fact, it says there in verse 4, on the third day, so this is a three-day journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I go and the boys go over, and the boy, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will come back to you. In Hebrews 11, verse 19, it says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Have we seen someone raised from the dead? Amen? The Lord Jesus and other people that he raised from the dead, and other times people were raised from the dead. He'd never seen anyone raised from the dead. He did not think that the promise of a son and a reckoning through him and what he was being asked to do were incongruous. He was able to trust that somehow there was a plan that God was going to work in all of this. You know, we've seen the impossible. He reasoned the impossible. He reasoned by faith. We need to face challenges and not think that there's a dichotomy between what God says and what's going on right now. That somehow God is working for the good of those who love him. Does that make sense? Faith that survives challenges. You know, sometimes we think they were the legalistic ones. Because we talk about all the Old Testament, there was so much legalism. They had this sacrifice and that sacrifice and this thing and that thing. But sometimes we can be more legalistic. We look for past precedent. Can we get a past precedent on that instead of living by faith? You know? We're supposed to be the faithful ones, right? But sometimes we look for how was that ever done? How was that ever done? Abraham didn't even have the Bible yet. He was living it. And he still trusted God. I think sometimes those guys were much more faithful than any of you or I, because we have a lot more things explained to us. Now, we're faithful. It's amazing. Jesus says, blessed are those who believe but have never seen me. Isn't our faith just an amazing thing that we can embrace Christ? But we need to not go back on, well, I got to see it. I got to figure it out. We need to be able to trust that God's working. You know, this is exciting stuff. As we're talking about some of these ideas, it's stuff that even other ministries could imitate. Teachers are like, man, I'd like to promote this as good news and, you know, and inspire other ministries with what we're doing. Amen? So in Genesis chapter 22 in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. If we go to the next slide. Isaac and the two of them, they carried the fire and the kindling. So the son had everything. Oh, he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place where God had told them about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you've not withheld from me your son, your only son. We know this was foreshadowing what God was going to do with Jesus, right? And he knew that you loved God because of this. My question is, are we holding back? He didn't withhold anything. Are we holding back? Now, I want to think about this from Isaac's perspective here for a moment. When did Isaac first hear the Lord speak? As he was bound up on the altar. Imagine that story. Imagine that story. He got to hear the voice of an angel because his father persevered in an amazing, difficult situation. Can you imagine the telling this story afterwards? It's kind of intense. I'm sure there was a battle there at some point when he's tying up his son. Sometimes teens say, you're killing me. Isaac said, you're really killing me.
Think about that.
But why am I highlighting that? Isaac was willing to listen to his dad. He was willing to follow his father. Isaac went with his dad to worship. How many days of a journey? 3 days. You know, as teens, you know, we need to be open-minded to the things that our parents are trying to encourage us to consider. Because there's so many things out there trying to distract us. But Isaac went along for the journey. And he carried the wood. Father had the flint and the knife. I think the son had the short end of that deal, but he's younger. Abraham was 100 years old at that point. It was over 100 at that point. Teens, we have to see the amazing experiences we have when you take advantage of the opportunities to worship God and be with his people. Amen? You know, we do a Bible talk every women's midweek for the teens. I encourage teens, be there. The teens that are there are loving it. Friday night, we had an amazing thing. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But the bunch of teens that were there, they were inspired by it. We'll go there in a minute. The Lord himself will provide the lamb. You know, think about this, them talking about this afterwards. Parents, you can build faith in your kids by sharing the ways God has worked in your life. This was an oral history at this point. Abraham talked about his journey. Don't you think it went a long way towards building up Isaac's faith? The burnt offering with God going through the middle? The three visitors? Think of all these things. The victories that was wrought in saving Lot. All these different things that happened where God just did amazing things. As he told the story, we have to tell our story. Even the foretelling of Isaac's birth. Now, if we go to the next slide, this is what we did last week, last Friday night. We got dozens of families together, Kingdom Kids and Youth and Family. We had an amazing evening, amen? Those of you who were there, can you say amen? Remember I asked you guys, we're going to amen? We need dozens and dozens of more. There was a good number, attendance and commitment is growing. We need everybody embracing these ideas. It was inspiring. We saw kids racing all over the space looking for raffle tickets and doing little devotionals in Bible groups. And we were playing Bible Kahoot by family. And we had the Cusados and we had Big Chrissy or Big Divi, whatever he was, Chris Mignon, Big Biggie. We had all these people's names popping up on the competition. But it was a blast. The whole idea is to draw us closer to God, amen? Now, if you are inspired about the idea of getting closer to God, We brought the Tawalawis run a Bible book table on the outside in the lobby after church. Buy some devotional books if you don't know. If you are amazed at the things that the different families did for you, but you're like, how did they do that? They're smart and they're awesome. But some of those ideas they got from other people. They'll probably, you know, give the ideas out. We don't have to invent the wheel on this. You know, imagine him, Isaac hearing about him saving Lot, about what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, about the covenant of angels, the foretelling of his own birth, even Abraham's shortcomings and mistakes. All the stories were in there. So, Dad, you really pawned my mom off as your sister twice? Whoa. But God saved me from it. Isaac, God saved me from it. In fact, he turned it around into a victory. I got more stuff each time that happened. Negative reinforcement. I don't know. Can you imagine the struggle of binding up your own son? Teenagers, don't you often ask, why? Why? You know, a very grating voice sometimes. I'm a teacher. And they don't get to why me very much because I say that I'm Finn and this is Finland and this is how we do things in Finland. It's not Finn rules. Some of them think I'm Finsane, but I'm having fun with it. They are my Finnians. Okay? Isaac was willing to go. He was willing to let his dad lead him. Kids, we need to let our parents lead us. We need to follow. Now, parents, we got to be an example. Didn't Abraham just grow amazingly? He had a new name. He listened. He went. He didn't argue. He didn't try to scam his way out of this one. We need to be the example. And guess what? The ram was there. Amen? But we have to be those men and women that are willing to lead our families, kids, we have to be the children that are willing to be led. And it even says that God spoke to him a second time in his son's presence and made an incredible promise. How cool was that? Imagine hearing the voice of God twice up there on that mountain. We need to be embracing the idea that we can give our kids incredible faith victories when we bring them on our journeys. Guys, I'm always sharing my faith about our church and about Jesus. I get a bunch of yeses, but you know, I get my no's too. Yeah. We need to think about that. Yeah. But why am I saying this? We need to tell our kids the ways we're doing things for God. In our own walk with God, in our own sharing our faith, you know, in our own victories, in our own struggles, and our victories over our struggles. Sometimes our kids think we were born perfect. We need to tell them how we've overcome struggles to become a Christian. He left the warts and everything there. His duplicities about his wife, his solution for a son. It was all in the Bible, and Isaac knew it. We need to share our victories, but we don't need to clean up our past. The friends around us that we're trying to draw to God, our children that we're trying to draw to God, they need to know our humanity and how we came to faith in God and Christ. You know, think about this. How inspired was Isaac by the outcome? He went on to become a follower of God as well, right? He was used in the plan of salvation to bring Jesus forth. His faith was built up. We need to understand that we can build up faith, but it was that moment of struggle, that hardest point when he had him tied up on the altar, that Isaac heard the Lord speak. Sometimes it's that persevering into the hardest thing where the victory can be seen. You know, we'll have to struggle with our friends and family and their faith and commitment. We're going to have to fight for people. If we don't, they may not see the outcome God has planned for them. We have to fight for each other. Amen? The next thing, next slide. Faith that lives lives of sacrifice. If we go to the next slide. Bill? No problem. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Now, this I looked up, because this is not camping. Does anyone know what this is called? Glamping. Glamorous camping. Some of you like camping. Memorial Day weekend, a whole bunch of disciples go camping. You may not know this, but I don't really like camping. Ask me how many times I've gone on that Memorial Day weekend camping. Never! I don't like camping. It's awesome, though. I'm sure they have a great time. I'll do it sometime when I have to. Thank you for asking the question. Never. Even those of you who like camping, I don't think you dream of multi-generational camping life. Tiny houses. Even his children and his grandchildren sacrificed to see God fulfill his dream. Faith through lives of sacrifice. We need to understand that we're on a path to glory. But it's not going to come because we seek the easy life. Sometimes we want to give our kids the things that they never had and that we never had. The biggest things we need to give our kids is the faith that we didn't have when they were their age. Not the stuff that we didn't have when they were their age. But we got it on backwards. You know, we need to help them, but that's not the priority. We need to communicate the faith to them. That needs to be what it was. He was willing to live in a tent, as did his son and his grandson. They were all heirs. It took generations for this plan to be realized. We can't prioritize giving our kids all the things we never had. Our parents' goals were that, and they helped us out. And some of our parents did build up our faith. And we love them for all the things that our parents have done for us. But wouldn't the best thing we could do for our kids give them the faith and the relationship with God that we never had at their age? Unless you're Angela, who became a Christian as a teenager, which is an awesome thing. I wish I'd gotten saved sooner because I would have avoided some of the things that are the warts in my life. You know, some of us really bought into win the world in one generation. It's a multi-generational effort. We have to persevere into the next generation. We have to transmit our faith. Amen? We have to transmit our faith. So we look at the next slide with the tiny houses. That's real camping. The tiny houses. Imagine living in that for multi-generational. Come on over, kids! It ain't happening, right? They were living a sacrificial life to really realize great things coming out of it. We need to be men and women that are prepared to live through lives of sacrifice. And the last thing, the last slide, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, this is the encouragement given out of the hall of faith considering Jesus. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen? That's an encouragement. It's at the end of the hall of faith. We need to be men and women that have faith that it goes along through time and space with amazing journeys. We have faith that thrives in those ways. We have faith that survives the challenges. We have faith through lives of sacrifice. And amazing things will come out of that, and we'll build up another generation of faithful followers of Christ. Amen? Thank you.